Chapter 18. At noon, we were all at the cafe. It was crowded. We were eating shrimps and drinking beer. The town was crowded. Every street was full. Big motor cars from Biarritz and San Sebastian kept driving up and parking around the square. They brought people for the bullfight. Sightseeing cars came up, too. There was one with 25 English women in it. They sat in the big white car and looked through their glasses at the fiesta. The dancers were all quite drunk. It was the last day of the fiesta. The fiesta was solid and unbroken, but the motor cars and tourist cars made little islands of onlookers. When the cars emptied, the onlookers were absorbed into the crowd. You did not see them again except as sport clothes, odd-looking at a table among the closely packed peasants in black smocks. The fiesta absorbed even the Biarritz English, so that you did not see them unless you passed close to a table. All the time there was music in the street. The drums kept on pounding and the pipes were going. Inside the cafes, men with their hands gripping the table or on each other's shoulders were singing. The hard-voiced singing.
"Here comes Brett," Bill said.
I looked and saw her coming through the crowd in the square, walking, her head up, as though the fiesta were being staged in her honor, and she found it pleasant and amusing. "Hello, you chap," she said. "I say, I have a thirst."
"Get another big beer," Bill said to the waiter.
"Shrimps? Is Cone gone?" Brett asked.
"Yes," Bill said. "He hired a car."
The beer came. Brett started to lift the glass mug and her hand shook. She saw it and smiled and leaned forward and took a long sip.
"Good beer."
"Very good," I said. I was nervous about Mike. I did not think he had slept. He must have been drinking all the time, but he seemed to be under control. "I heard Cone had hurt you, Jake," Brett said. "No, knocked me out, that was all."
"I say, he did hurt Pedro Romero," Brett said. "He hurt him most badly."
"How is he?"
"He'll be all right. He won't go out of the room."
"Does he look badly?"
"Very. He was really hurt. I told him I wanted to pop out and see you chaps for a minute."
"Is he going to fight?"
"Rather. I'm going with you, if you don't mind."
"How's your boyfriend?" Mike asked.
He had not listened to anything that Brett had said.
"Brett's got a bullfighter," he said. "She had a Jew named Cohn, but he turned out badly."
Brett stood up. "I am not going to listen to that sort of rot from you, Michael."
"How's your boyfriend?"
"Damned well," Brett said. "Watch him this afternoon."
"Brett's got a bullfighter," Mike said. "A beautiful bloody bullfighter."
"Would you mind walking over with me? I want to talk to you, Jake."
"Tell him all about your bullfighter," Mike said. "Oh, to hell with your bullfighter."
He tipped the table so that all the beers and the dish of shrimps went over in a crash. "Come on," Brett said. "Let's get out of this." In the crowd, crossing the square, I said, "How is it?" "I'm not going to see him after lunch until the fight. His people come in and dress him. They're very angry about me," he says. Brett was radiant. She was happy. The sun was out and the day was bright. "I feel altogether changed," Brett said. "You've no idea, Jake."
"Anything you want me to do?"
"No, just go to the fight with me."
"We'll see you at lunch."
"No, I'm eating with him." We were standing under the arcade at the door of the hotel. They were carrying tables out and setting them up under the arcade. "Want to take a turn out to the park?" Brett asked. "I don't want to go up yet. I fancy he's sleeping."